We're welcome into God's presence. He sure is here. Greetings from our senior pastor. He sends his love. Thank you, Minister Brian, for giving us such a rich, rich word. Thank you, Pastor Emmanuel, for that rich word from last week. We were following every single word. Today I bring the word, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of might. Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of might. That first week when Minister Brian was teaching, I was following his every word, and he was talking to us about making sure that we are changed and renewed from within. It was more of the presence of the Holy Spirit helps us to be what we are supposed to be. Look more like Jesus. That's what I got. Those were not his words. But you know, everyone sitting down in a service gets different things. And then last week, Pastor Emmanuel was talking to us about joy. The spirit of joy. That joy that comes from within. That may not be all he said, but that's what I got. And it is the joy of the Lord that is your strength. When you don't have joy, you are weak and you can't get much done. Today we will talk about the spirit of might, the Holy Spirit of God. You can sense from all that is going on that the Holy Spirit is the main focus in the season. I thank our senior pastor for giving me this opportunity to speak this word. This is from my life. This is how I live. That spirit of might. I wake up every day to go get a dose of might. It helps you get to places where in your normal, natural life, you couldn't possibly be. It helps you sit among princes that if somebody had told you, you'd be able to sit there. Gives you titles and roles that you could never have achieved by yourself. Spirit of might. Isaiah 11 from verse 1. Our senior pastor has taught so much from this scripture, especially in the wisdom series he's been teaching on Wednesdays. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, the King James Version says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." This spirit is what we call the sevenfold spirit of God. The sevenfold spirit of God. And if you want to count along with me, let's count. In verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord, 1, the Spirit of wisdom, 2, the Spirit of understanding, 3, the Spirit of counsel, 4, the Spirit of might, 5, the Spirit of the knowledge of the fear of the Lord. There's one I'm missing. Lord, wisdom, that's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's one more. Knowledge, I'm missing knowledge. The Spirit of knowledge and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Not seven spirits, even though it sounds like that, is a sevenfold spirit. Let's go to Revelation 5, 1. It's all about the Holy Spirit this morning. Pray that God will open your understanding, that Jesus will, like he did, open our understanding so we can understand the scriptures. Let's pray that prayer. Father, open my understanding so I can understand the scriptures. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Revelation 5:1. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside. This is New King James Version. A scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. I want you to start to pay attention. The Bible is specific about numbers. Seven is the one that seems to be the number that God works most with. Seven. There's seven, there's three, there's four, there's 40. But seven. Seven seals. Verse 2, then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much. And this is John the Apostle talking here. Because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Let's go to verse 6. But I want to read verse 6 in the Amplified. And there between the throne, remember verse 1 says, he who sat on the throne. We're still going to pull back the curtains today and we're going to look into heaven and see what's happening in heaven right now. I just want to show you, give you a glimpse. It makes me so excited. It makes me know I don't fear death. If it's tomorrow, it's like, come on, Holy Ghost, we ready? Let's go. Although I want to finish my walk here on earth, but to be honest, there is no pain and there is no fear to dying. Once you know what's going on up there, it's... But if you read verse 6, and there between the throne in the Amplified now, and the four living creatures or beings, and among the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. With how many horns? Seven. Remember the number seven? Seven horns with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit, who have been sent on duty far and wide into all the earth. The sevenfold Spirit of God has been sent on duty far and wide into all the earth. And we're going to talk about how does that happen. But we started with Isaiah 11, verse 2 says, upon that stem of Jesse, Jesus is the stem of Jesse. He's the branch that should grow out of his roots. But upon him rested the sevenfold Spirit of God. And we see in heaven, the sevenfold Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's talk about that lamb. Remember, all this started when there was a scroll that had how many seals? Seven seals. There was a scroll that was in heaven and nobody could open it. And John started to cry. Apparently, you have to qualify for some certain things. Nobody qualified until the lamb came out. But the lamb did not just look like a lamb. But the lamb looked like it had been slain. Slain means it had been killed. And the reason it looks like it was slain is that you could see something. Maybe they saw where it had been slaughtered. The mark was still there because the Bible says, the lamb looked like it had been slain. I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. But this lamb had seven horns, seven eyes, but they represent the seven spirits of God. So I want you to imagine now, go with me on this journey. There is this lamb. You know what a lamb is? Sheep? Lamb? Okay. Looks slain, like it was slaughtered. Was alive, but you could see the mark. That's why it looked slain. But this lamb was no ordinary lamb. It had seven eyes, seven horns. And those seven eyes and seven horns represented the sevenfold Holy Spirit of God. He was the only one that was able to open. And the reason John was crying was there's something in that book or in that scroll that was so important that if it were not opened, something of great importance would have been missed, or a calamity or something. So it was very important, but somebody had to be able to open it. And the Bible says that the Lamb was able to open it. Let's go to verse 13 in the New King James of that Revelation 5. This is why we throw our garments away and just worship with abandon. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard, John was saying now, I heard them saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. They worshipped. But you can't worship anyone that is not God, especially not in heaven. So that lamb was God. But I want you to look at that picture. There are three persons in God. There's one God, but there are three persons in God. You have God the Father. You have God the Son. And you have God, the Holy Spirit. And in that moment when the Lamb went and took the scroll from he who sits on the throne, you had the full community of God, the Father, the Lamb, and the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit of God. The Lamb, John chapter 1 verse 29. Let's talk about this Lamb. Maybe I actually want to start from John 1, 1. I don't have it in my notes, but if you put it up, I'll read it. New King James. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, let's keep reading so you keep rolling. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. He was not called the Lamb. He was called the Word. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Not the lamb, the word. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John is not the word. There was a man called John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light. So the Bible is making real clear who we're talking about. John was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Not the lamp, the word. Verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Verse 12. This is where we come in. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the authority, to become children of God to those who believe in his name. So this thing has gone past, I'm a Jew, I'm an Israelite. It's anyone who receives him. But we're still not talking about the Lamb. We're talking about the Word. Verse 13. Who, these people, are now born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Say, I am born of God. I am a child of God. I have a right like a child of God. God is my father. I am born of God because God willed it. I am not here by mistake. I'm specially designed, carved out. I am different. I am born of God. I am not a mere mortal. I'm not a mere human. I am a child of God. Folks, there's a difference. There is a difference. Everything that plagues the world should not plague a child of God. And we're going to get to it because we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay, keep helping me now. Verse 14. And the Word becomes flesh and dwelt among us. So remember, we're talking about the Word, not the Lamb. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Keep going. Verse 16. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So we called him the Word. Now we're calling him Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to take it from verse 29. John was the one who was talking here. The man called John, the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, who was said to be the voice of the one in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Messiah. So this is not Apostle John. This was not one of the followers of Christ. This was actually John, his cousin. But they look like they don't even know each other. Because when you look in verse 29, the next day, John chapter 1, 29, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the first time we're hearing him called the Lamb. He's been called the Word. He's been called Jesus Christ. But here, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. How did he know? Verse 32. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. Verse 33, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon, and who sent him? God sent John to go baptize people with water. He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Remember we read in Revelations, the Lamb that looked like he had been slain and had seven horns, seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold Holy Spirit. He did not come as the Lamb originally. But by the time we saw him in Revelations 5, he did. And this is where the Holy Spirit came upon him. Jesus was not born with the Holy Spirit. He was God. He was the Word. But the Bible says he left his glory in heaven. He left his, like children would say, his magical powers in heaven. And the Bible talks about Jesus when he was little, how he had to grow up just like you and me. He was a baby. He was taken to the temple for dedication, like all these children are. Then he grew up saying, yes, ma'am, yes, dad. He was just a child. Children, Jesus was just a child, yes? Was he a child at a point? At age 12, he goes to the temple with his parents, but he was starting to differentiate. But not with power. He was starting to sit with the elders in the temple discussing the word. Parents, it's never too early to get those children so turned on to the word. Age 12. Is there any 12-year-old here today? Any 12-year-old? That's you. You are now 13. You are 11. I want to do what Pastor used to do to Edie. When he was 11, he would call him 14. But you're almost there, baby. You're almost there. But I want to tell you, though, this is why we've never excused our children. You cannot be playing football. Which football? No, you are in church. Because you are never too young to be with God. So at age 12, he was conversing. But those superpowers, though inherit that, you know, the power that he will speak and water is turned into wine and, you know, the storm is calmed and somebody that died rose up from the dead or Lazarus come forth. We never saw it. We never saw it because at that time he was the Word. He was Jesus. But he was not yet the one who had the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is different from Jesus. The Holy Spirit is different from the Father. Different, not in substance, but different as he is a person all by himself. Amen. I want to reintroduce you today to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Remember, you have the right to be a child of God. But you can live just like a mere mortal if you don't know what differentiates you. What differentiated Jesus from the average person? Yes, he was a good person. He grew in wisdom. He grew in grace, but not the power. He didn't display any power or might until the Spirit of God came upon him. Yes. That is the difference. It wasn't that the Word did not have power, but the Bible says he left his glory, his power in heaven. What made him this magnificent, this person that the world still remembers today, is the Holy Spirit. That sevenfold spirit. Seven eyes, seven horns. That's what made him qualify to take the scroll. Because right here, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Revelations 3:1. New King James. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, this thing says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. So we had horns, we had eyes, now we have stars. Luke 3:21. When all the people were baptized, that is by John the Baptist, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized in water. And while Jesus was praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven and said, you are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. Verse 23. Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. He could do nothing because he had left his power, his glory, everything in heaven. But when the heavens opened, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he began his ministry. He began World Changers International Dead Restoring to Life ministry. You are nothing without the Holy Spirit. You are born again. You are a child of God. You can be renewed in your mind. You will be a good person. Like most Christians I know are good people. Yeah, sometimes because we're human, we kind of sometimes fall off. But most of the time, because we're, you know, growing in the Lord, we're getting better. But there's difference between a good person and somebody with might and power. Jesus could do nothing until he was baptized with the sevenfold Spirit of God. Amen. So I want to just pull back the curtains of heaven, and we're going somewhere, because I really want to talk about the Holy Spirit in a way that maybe we don't think about him. In Revelation 4, verse 1, pulling back the curtains, do you know that right now there is another world that you can't see or touch? And as children of God, those who have the right to be called the children of God, like John 1:12 says, not because you're a Jew or Israelite or born in Israel, but because you received Jesus, now you're born of the will of God, you are a child of God. You have to be very conscious of your heavenly home. And I'm not talking of you being conscious of it like, oh, one day I'm going to die and I'm going to see God. No, there is a heaven right now. At this point in time, there is a completely different world of which you yourself, you are a citizen. It's a different world from this world where we're going 9 to 5 to eat and buy and stuff, where we're begging people for favors. It's a completely different world. Revelation 4:1. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. So it is like God pulls the curtain back and told John the apostle, come, let me show you what is happening right now in real time, even though you can't see it. I'm going to give you a glimpse. Let me show you. A door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me saying, come up here. And I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately, I was in the Spirit. Say, I am in the Spirit. You have to be in the Spirit. If you are not in the Spirit, you are going to fight wars, things that you ought to have dominion over. You are going to be just like the average human. You are going to have pain and sorrow. Because you are not aware of who you are, to whom you belong, and what is your address. You know your address? When we used to live in England, there was something that was very, to us, we were moving from Nigeria to England at that time, and we never could understand it. There will be two zip codes. They are not called zip codes in the UK, but they call them zip codes. One is next to the other. Depending on which one you live in, it may just be one step gets you into this zip code. The schools are different. The people are different. If you go to a store and you give them your driver's license, they see your zip code. They treat you completely different. Zip code. We found it here in the United States, actually. When we got to Cleveland, we didn't know anywhere, but Some people who loved us, don't live in that place, live in this place because of the school. Zip code. We didn't have two pennies to rub together, but they said, no matter what you do, live in this zip code because of the schools. Because of the schools. Address. Your address. Most Christians don't know where they are from. So, as these people are squabbling over this, you two, you are squabbling. Mm-mm. No. We don't fight like the world. We are by right children of God. So when you look here, immediately I was in the spirit and behold, a throne set in heaven. This is where our Father lives. Here. Here. This is his address. This is where he lives. A throne set in heaven and one sat on the throne. The one who sits on the throne, that's my Father. Say, that's my Father. The one who owns the whole universe. Who speaks and everything disappears and speaks everything appears. The one to whom, with whom nothing is absolutely impossible. If today is Monday, God shows up and says it is Thursday. Guess what? It is Thursday. The one who changes and nobody can change. The Almighty God by himself. That is your Father. Your address is not number 5942 Wilson Mills. Your address. Your home address. Your zip code. 11 heaven. Your abode. Mansion. 5230 Heaven Street Gold Corner. Boulevard. The decoration, river like a glass. That's where you come from. Zip code, address. And he who sat, verse 3, he who sat there on this throne. Okay, let's say 2. Immediately I was in the spirit and behold, a throne set in heaven. And one sat on the throne, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24. Now, this is where your Father lives. I'm not talking of that sister's father. Your Father. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on them. This is your company. This is your family. This is where you come from. In India, they have what they call the caste system. They all look the same, but this person can marry into this family because of the caste. This one, we are kings. We come in boldly. We sit. Angels don't sit. We come. We sit. Why? Because we have been given the right. We are children of God Almighty, the one who sits on the throne. Angels need permission. We just come in boldly. We sit. This is our address. And verse 5 says, and from the throne, now look, this is the one that always blows me away. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, voices within the throne. Who are these voices speaking? Within this throne. Not angels, the community of God. As the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. This is the place of power and dominion. When Jesus came, though, he came as the Word, as a human. He left all that power in heaven so that he could be a human. So he, when he died for us, it will be a human dying. But he had to get his work done, so he needed the seven spirits of God. That power, that thundering, those voices, they had to come upon him to get his job done. If you have that sevenfold spirit, you can never be ordinary. It is impossible. A few people had it in the Bible. We saw them. And I want you to hear what Jesus said. He knew the exact minute. John the Baptist knew the exact minute when the sevenfold Spirit of God descended upon him. It was at that baptism. The heavens open. It's time. It looks like a dove, but what you don't see, it looks mellow. It looks, you know, doves are like peaceful, gentle. What you did not know was that fire just descended. He just came. And the Bible says, Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 24:49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Up until now, you have been ordinary. Now, I want you to start to walk in a different way. I want you to walk like citizens of heaven walk, think, talk, with results that can be attributable to people who come from another place, from that address. So he told them, don't go out and do anything. Because he knew he couldn't go out. He himself could not go out and do anything until that Spirit came. The minute it came, he turned water into wine. Dead came back to life. People who were not, he was just discharging from every pore. People would touch him, they would be saved. Multitudes would touch him, they would be healed. Things just changed. That's the Holy Spirit. He is the embodiment of the power, the thunderings, the voices, the lightnings. He brings it from heaven and brings it to this earth on you so that you can continue to walk like you are in heaven, but upon the earth. In Deuteronomy 11, the Bible says, days of heaven upon the earth. Right here. Now, today, you can be like Jesus. Not because you read your Bible more than the other sister did, but because you are endued with power. Thunderings, lightnings, voices, the sevenfold Spirit of God. He came like a dove, but he ain't no dove. People are seeing that thing and they say, oh, peaceful Holy Spirit, gentle Holy Spirit, oh sweet Holy Spirit. Thunderings, lightnings, voices, power. He told them, stay in the city until you are endued with power from on high. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. He came like a dove. The Holy Spirit is not power. He comes with power. The promise of the Father. Hallelujah. So when John was saying to them, he said, this person that is coming, he will baptize you. He said, I baptize with water, but this person will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. But it's the Holy Spirit and fire. And fire. I put that scripture down. I'm trying to find it. The Holy Spirit is like fire. He will baptize with the Spirit and fire. I'm going to find it. The Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit and fire. In Joel 2:28 it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." My spirit on all flesh. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." When he comes, things change and things happen. He brings with him the fragrance and the doings of God. Yes, when we yield to the Holy Spirit, our personality can change, or our behavior, maybe more better to say behavior. Maybe before I used to be, you know, hot-tempered and so on. When I yield to the Holy Spirit, he takes away that rashness, harshness, wrath, and replaces it with Galatians 5:22. I'm now gentle and so on. That's within. That's what you sense when you're with me. But there is something that the Holy Spirit does. He makes me do what I was never able to do. I want us to read Acts chapter 2. Verse, you remember that place? Acts 2. Let's start with 32 or 33. I'm going to go one chapter back. Acts 1, 1 to 5. "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive and his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." That's Acts 1, 5. "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." For 40 days after Jesus was resurrected, he was walking with his disciples, teaching them, showing them things. 10 days later, because we are calling it the Pentecost, that's 50 minus 40. So 10 days later, he sends the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:1. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, he had told them," he said, "wait, stay here, don't do anything. Just hold still. Just be still. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. Just hold still." He was telling them different things for 40 days. The last thing Jesus said to them was, "Stay here and be endued with power." And the Bible says they watch him go into the heavens. And they started hiding. The reason you hide is not because you don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling, that is, you are born again. The reason you hide is you don't have the power. So they started hiding. They were afraid. Jesus, they had seen him 40 days after he had resurrected. They were still confident. And Jesus told them, "Don't go out, don't do anything, just rest." 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. This is no dove now, no dove. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind. You know that place in the point in films? You can tell that something important has happened when the music, the score changes. You know something is happening when you say, dun, 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 dun. You can tell. For people like us who are film buffs, and I can tell. Dun, 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 dun. And then there's this swell in the music. and you know that you are in the most important part of the movie. Mighty rushing wind. It wasn't gentle. It was no dove. Here comes the Holy Spirit. He filled the house with this tremendous sound. It was tremendous and it was deafening. And you knew something had changed in the course of time. Something had changed. The sevenfold Spirit of God was now not just in the presence and in the throne room. He had descended. And it wasn't like in the Old Testament that the anointing is on the king, the priest, and the prophet. He had come to be poured out on people, masses of people. 120. At once, when Jesus was being baptized, it was just the dove. He came like a mighty rushing wind. Like there's a storm coming. Remember, thunderings, lightnings, voices. Heaven had come to earth. And if you keep reading verse 4 or verse 3, maybe I read. And suddenly, verse 2, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. So he comes, he fills, and there's fire on you, fire on you, fire, 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 fire. And what happened? They started to speak in other tongues as that spirit of fire gave them utterance. In verse 5, there were many people who had come for the Pentecost, and they heard them speaking in languages that they knew these people didn't know. This was the arrival of the Holy Spirit. He came not as a dove. He came as fire. And they were all amazed in verse 12. What can this mean? And they started mocking them because it wasn't just fire. They were speaking loud and they looked different. And people thought they were drunk with wine. No, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter, who was always afraid, you know, Chicken Peter? Chicken, Peter, Chicken. First name was Chicken. Peter, middle name. Last name, Chicken. He got up boldly and said, "Men and brethren, these people are not drunk." And then he starts to preach. And several thousands were added to the Lord. The spirit of boldness came upon him. Boldness. The presence of the Holy Spirit in your life gives you boldness. It's not just speaking in tongues. It's boldness. Every morning when you get up, if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you don't have what I'm talking about. That's why as soon as it is possible, we got our children baptized in the Holy Spirit. Edie got baptized when we went to one of this Brother Copeland's meetings. And in their children's church, I think it was about 6 or 5. They called them all out. He got baptized. We were in the adult service. He was in the children's church. We came. He came and joined us after service. The boy we put there was a different boy who came out. Bold. Boldness, the spirit of counsel and might. And he said to them, when you stay there, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll be witnesses for me. The Bible calls Jesus the faithful witness. Now, he says, me and the children that the Lord has given me. Therefore, what? You can't be no sign, no wonder unless you have that spirit. He's the spirit of might. He's the spirit that was on David when he saw Goliath and he said, "Who are you, uncircumcised Philistine?" He's the spirit that was on Joshua when he took all the land. Boldness. First evidence, speaking in tongues. Next, boldness. That's why you can speak in a boardroom. When everybody is cowering and say, "I can't speak," the CEO is there. I say, "What?" Boldness. That's why you can jump and start a business. Even when all the odds are against you. Why? The spirit of might. The spirit of boldness. That's why you know what to do when nobody else knows what to do. It's the spirit of counsel and might and boldness. The sevenfold spirit of God. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If anybody ever convinced you that you did not, they have cheated you of one of the greatest things that could ever happen to you in your life. You have been cheated for so long. You have been cheated and you are still cheated. It is the worst thing for a Christian who has an address in the throne room and God is your Father and the sevenfold Spirit of God is here. And you are born again and you don't have the anointing upon you. You have the grace of God within you. Yes, if you die today, you are going to heaven. But you won't be able to do much for Him as a witness here. The Bible says, it came a point in time after the disciples were born, baptized in the Holy Spirit. There was a place they got to and everybody was afraid of them. They said, "Look at this man who have turned the world upside down." That's the spirit of might. That's why Jesus kept saying, "Hold on, wait, hold on, don't go anywhere. Just hold on." 10 days later, He comes in His power. In His thunderings, in His lightnings, and with His voices. His voices came out of the mouth of His people. This one was speaking Greek. Things they've never heard before. That's the evidence of speaking in tongues. It shows you that you are not just born again. Now, He's upon you. Like Jesus could do nothing. You can't do anything without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's the spirit of might. He's the one that lets you do stuff. He is the doer. You wake up in the morning. Last thing I want to tell you. How you engage. Let's say you are already born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the thing I found my brothers and sisters don't know how to do. They don't know how to engage that spirit that is upon them and within them in the marketplace. Let me tell you what you do. You have a routine. I was reading it on one of this news app. These men that rule the world have routines. One wakes up at 4:30. I think Tim Cook, Apple, wakes up 4:30. One wakes up at 4:30 because their people are in India. First thing they do is email and so. And they're showing us these are the things they do. That's how come they're on top of the world. No, child of God. You already have an address that is on top of the world. What you just need to do is know how to bring heaven upon the earth. So your morning routine must be to meet with the Holy Spirit. Your night routine is to meet with the Holy Spirit. I call it the bookend principle. You know what bookends are? One on this side, one on this side, and in the middle are the things, books, so that the books don't kind of fall on the shelf, you have bookends. So my bookend is my 5:30 a.m. with the Holy Spirit, and the bookend on this side is my 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. with the Holy Spirit. Because at night, the Bible says, your spirit interacts with the Holy Spirit, counsels, advices, plans. You wake up in the morning, you are just full of ideas.
That's the bookend of the night. That's why Jesus told you, the Bible tells you, sleep. Because when you sleep, he has the opportunity to interact and pour counsel. But in the morning, you put on the garment. You've interacted with him. Many times I will wake up and it's like, I can't even go, I'm anxious. Then I start to pray in tongues and I start to interact. I get up there and say, where are the devils? What? Come. Where are the demons? Which one wants their head taken off today? Who born you? That's the spirit of counsel and might. Speaking in tongues, interacting, my spirit starts to bubble up. Then you are bold. People are looking at you. Where did she come from? Is she not from Nigeria? Look at her accent. What? Spirit of boldness, counsel, might. And the grace for the day is released. The grace for today is not the one for tomorrow. That's why you are anxious about tomorrow. But don't worry. Do your bookend at night. Wake up in the morning. Get the grace, the bucket of grace and mercy set up for tomorrow. Leave that one for tomorrow. Don't go and borrow trouble. Leave it alone in tomorrow. Because every day, the spirit of might, he has a basket full of benefits, of counsel, of wisdom, of understanding, of knowledge. But you have to interact with him. Stand to your feet. The spirit of counsel and might. It doesn't let you judge things by what you see. That spirit of fire. He reminds you of your address. He reminds you where you are from, that you are not a mere mortal. He will show you things to come. He will show you what Jesus would do if he were in your shoes. But you got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have to be able to use your prayer language, speaking in tongues. Why would you not use a prayer language? That's the only language the devil does not understand. It's direct communication between you and God. The Holy Spirit. He comes like a fire. Holy Spirit. Touch. I'm going to ask if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit after we share the grace with behind. Let's pray for you. You can't do much without that spirit of might. That's your ace. That's the only person you've got. He's the one that gives you the advantage. He's your advantage. He's the one who helps you live like a king on this earth. Father, talk to him for a minute. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for loving me so much. Thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went to heaven, he said, I'll send the Comforter. I'll send the Helper, the Spirit of truth and grace. He came like a mighty rushing wind. He came, he sat like tongues of fire. He changed the whole world. And now I am a witness of his power, of his dominion, of his authority. Go ahead, say, make me a witness for you. Change the world through me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yield. Say, I yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield now. I yield my life. I yield my mind, my soul, my emotions. I yield. Spirit of might. Spirit of boldness. I yield. Walk through me. Talk through me. do through me. Turn this world upside down through me. Spirit of might. Hallelujah. Yield now. Come on, yield. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield. Holy Spirit, I don't want to do my own thing anymore. I want to be enabled, endued with power. Thank you, Lord. Father, we're so grateful because you did not leave us helpless as orphans. When Jesus went to heaven, he prayed and you sent the Holy Spirit 10 days later. And now we're full of power and boldness. Make us witnesses, oh God. Turn this world upside down with the signs and the wonders you will do through us. Show the world what heaven looks like through us. And draw people to yourself. Draw people to yourself. We yield to you, our Father. Our address is heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lift those hands, worship him, thank him. Hallelujah.